Hey, y'all. Welcome to Book Marketing Mania. I'm Kim, a book marketing strategist for Christian authors, and I'm so thrilled you're here to learn how to grow your author platform, market your book on podcast, and steward your message in a way that honors God and your time. Do you want to get your message in front of more people by being a guest on podcast? Once you decide that's a marketing strategy you have time for, do you find yourself staring at a blank screen wondering what to say in your podcast pitch? It can be so frustrating, not to mention wasted time and opportunity if you don't ever hit send on your pitch. And I know we've talked a lot about podcast pitching here on the show, and I thought today you might want to hear directly from podcast host about what they want to see in a guest pitch for their shows. And I do want to begin first with reminding you, pitch sooner, not later. Every time I post online or send an email to my list about the turnaround times getting longer and longer between pitching, recording your interview, and your interview going live, everyone is always so surprised. Well, those of you who want to be guest on podcast are surprised, but podcast hosts, they're not surprised. Every time I share to pitch sooner, not later, I get these responses from host. Yes, 100% agree. Even if it's a year out, I would usually love the chance to consider if you are a fit for the show. I'm recording now for 4 to 5 months out. Yes, I'm batching ahead and booked 6 months out. Yes, that's true with me too. I'm scheduling recordings now that will air 3 to 4 months out. And most recently on episode 68, you heard Rebecca George, host of the Radical Radiance podcast, talk about how she started pitching herself 5 months ahead of her book release because she knew podcasters like herself were booking further and further out. So I highly encourage you to listen to episode 68 with Rebecca if you haven't heard it before. She shares some great tips on pitching a new angle on a topic already covered and how she tracks her podcast pitches that she sends. It's so good. And I knew it would be helpful to hear what other podcast hosts have to say, too, about building relationships before pitching them to be a guest and what to say in your email pitch, plus some creative ways that you can pitch podcasts. And if you've been around here a while, you've heard me talking about how important it is to build relationships with podcast hosts before pitching. And Misty Phillip, host of the By His Grace podcast, was my guest on episode 9, and she shared these tips.
You know, people apparently are Googling some pitch online and then they're sending the same pitch over and over and over. And the first thing I want to say to authors is we get pitched so many times a week that we can't interview everyone. And so as a podcast host, I want to serve my audience and I want to serve my audience well. So just by creating a blank pitch and saying, oh, I'm so interested in your show. Will you please have me as a guest? Mm-hmm. But that's really inauthentic. If you really want to be a guest on multiple shows, like take an interest in the podcast, listen to an episode or multiple episodes, do your research, know what they're talking about on their shows, and then make friends with other podcasts because I am a lot more open to pitches from my friends or from authors that I know. I'm much more open to those than just a blank pitch of somebody saying, oh, I'm so interested in your podcast when it's clear that you have never listened to my show. You don't know what I talk about. So I think it's really about building authentic relationships. I think that is where you're going to find shows to work with you is by reaching out and connecting with people and joining podcast communities and just showing up like you, Kim. I mean, you weren't even podcasting at the time when you came to Spark, but you know what? That's when you show up and you just make friends. I think that is a much better approach than just crafting a pitch and pitching 1,000 people, right? I had somebody reach out to me and they had created this great pitch. They were a great guest, but it was the same pitch that they pitched to like, you know, 100 other people. Mm-hmm. And I was one of the only podcasters that actually reached out and said, I'm sorry, I'm not interested at this time, you know, perhaps in the future. Well, that person and I ended up having a relationship, and I've had her as a guest on my podcast, and she's part of the Spark community now. Mm-hmm. We've become really good friends. But she told me, she was like, you were one of the only people that even reached back out to me. Mm-hmm. So I say that to say, we are very busy as podcast hosts, and we are working to try to serve our audience and our message. So by getting to know the podcasters, listening to their shows, taking a general interest in their shows and building that relationship, I think you're going to get a lot further than a cold pitch.
And you might remember on episode 60, I talked about the common podcast pitching mistake of your brand confuses the podcast host, and how a potential podcast host will check out your online presence when they receive your pitch. And when my friend Wren Robbins, host of the Friends of a Feather and Don't Wing It podcast, was my guest on episode 35, she shared this.
The best way for me is to first follow me on the most active social media that I am on and to interact with me as a person. Mm-hmm. And so I love that. I think that is all about communication, and it's all about that community. Mm-hmm. And being social, and just those relationships that you can build through social media. I have responded so much more to someone when they follow me on Instagram, because I'm very highly involved in mm-hmm. Instagram, and some people are on Facebook. So it's right. Like, you gotta find where they are most active, when they're most engaging, and follow them there, and then interact with them, like their post, comment on their post, share their episodes. That's huge. Share their mm-hmm. episodes, leave a review on mm-hmm. their episodes. And then you can take that step in email. I love what you're doing. I think this is how it can pair with my message. I think this is how it can help your audience. And most of the time I'm going to say yes. And then I do a deep dive. So like, I will go to your, before I accept, I will go to your social media and I will do a deep dive. And mm-hmm. if there's anything that's negative,
mm-hmm. oh yeah,
I'm going to probably be like, sorry, no, it's uh-huh. just, and that's my personal, listen, mm-hmm. I do yeah. deep dive, because I do that. I dig for when I am having people on my show, mm-hmm. not that I'm looking for perfection, of course not, but I am looking for somebody that I feel like I want to hear them speak. Mm-hmm. I might go to listen to an episode that they've been on somebody else's show so I can hear how they speak. I'm going to also go to their social media, like I said, and just hear them on stories talking. I'm going to see how much they are on video, just so that I can hear them mm-hmm. If they have a podcast. So all of those things. But I love when somebody interacts with me on social media first, then comes to me through email, and then it's just the timing is right. It really is. A lot of mm-hmm. it is timing about the certain subjects. Recently, somebody, after I had finished wrapping up Friends of a Feather for now, and she reached out over video, and it was an email, but it was a video, and she talked about Eat, Read, Love. And she said, mm-hmm. oh, this is what I'm eating, reading, and loving. You probably said it. But anyway, she said Eat, Reading, Loving, because that's what I did at the end of every uh-huh. single episode yeah. of Friends of a Feather. So number one, I knew she listened to my podcast. Uh-huh. Number two, I thought it was a very clever and yeah. a way to get it. And I would have totally had her on the show. I was like, yeah. I'm so sorry. I just ended. So video is so big.
That's amazing. That's, yeah.
I just like hearing people's hearts. Uh-huh. And so that's a lot of things, but if yeah. you do, you know, a few of those, that really helps.
Then of course I had to interview one of my all-time favorite podcast coaches, Crystal Prophet, host of the Prophet Podcast. She was my guest on episode 19, and she had this to share about what she likes to see in a guest pitch.
My biggest one is people that don't lead with value. It's not personal. It's just, hey, I see you have a podcast. I'm amazing. That's basically what it is in a nutshell. All of these people that I either never reply to, or I just hit delete on them and never say anything back, is they don't, there's no connection. It's, I feel that they have copy and pasted everything from a template, and they're just saying, my name is blank. This is what I've done. This is how amazing I am. And here's when I'm available to come and show my awesomeness on your mm-hmm. podcast. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, it sounds so bad, but I'm like, I don't care about what you do. You have to make me care. So that's my biggest pet peeve. And the thing that I can tell you that will get a yes on my podcast, even if that person is not, like, if they're slightly outside of podcasting, like, let's say someone does more of like the online business side, because that is part of who my audience is. But if it's not directly underneath the podcasting umbrella, I will still answer a pitch if someone has addressed me in a personal way. Either they don't have to say, I love your podcast, it's amazing, because I don't like all that either. That's kind of weird to me when people are overly too much. But when they say, I loved your episode specifically about blah, blah, blah with this person, or this was my biggest takeaway, and I could really speak to your audience on this topic because I wrote this book. So it all is just like a cyclical thing that like goes back to value. All of it goes back to value. What kind of value can you add to my audience? Not to me, because I'm not the center of attention here. I have my audience. They are the ones that I'm serving. And so I think a lot of times people will approach hosts as, I have to make the host happy, but I'm looking for content that will make my audience happy. So I think if you approach it with personality, how can I be, you know, relatable to this person? How can I connect with them? And then how can I really hit home on the value that I could bring to them? I mean, it's going to get at least a contact. Like, you would get a reply from me for mm-hmm. sure.
And on episode 34, How to Pitch a Podcast, I mentioned the importance of your subject line. And Dr. Sandra Dalton-Smith, host of the I Choose My Best Life podcast, was my guest on episode 39. And I asked Sandra what stood out to her in a podcast pitch.
Whenever I get a podcast pitch that specifically says something along the lines of, you know, I would love to come on your show to talk about such and such, and a potential title could be Choose Whatever, because most of my show titles have the word choose in it. Choose freedom, choose joy, choose surrender, choose something. And so that's kind of the focus of my show. And so when they tell me not only what they want to talk about, but then they've already thought through a title, and the title actually shows that they looked at the show, they know something about it, I'm automatically a little bit more impressed. I'm even more impressed when they can reflect back and tell me on a prior show that they enjoyed and what they enjoyed about it. Because now, not only did they just scan, which honestly, the fact that they vetted it and looked to see that I actually talk about what they talk about, awesome. But then to know they actually listened and can tell me details about one of the shows, that's next level. That's someone I'm like, okay, they know how I flow. They're not going to come on and I'm going to have to spend 10 minutes explaining everything to them. They're already kind of familiar with what I do, and it's more likely to be a good fit, and they're more likely to get a yes.
And you may remember Heather Hyman, host of the Infinitely More podcast, formerly known as Business Jesus and Sweet Tea, was my guest on episode 41. And she shared this tip with us on pitching her show.
So, I mean, my preferred method is email by someone who has listened to my podcast and has why they're reaching out to me included in their pitch, mm-hmm. and they've kept it short. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's not good enough. And it drives me insane when it's like a really long thing that's all about them, and they've gone in and typed in one sentence at the beginning that really just seems like it says, hey, I've had a chance to listen to your podcast, but there's nothing else in the email that really indicates why they would be a good fit to be mm-hmm. on my show, or ultimately what they have to offer and why is that valuable to my specific audience. Mm-hmm. Literally imagine that someone is going to say yes only if you've done a good job of being relatable and that you've listened and just in very succinct points of how my audience is going to be able to benefit from that person coming on.
Then Katie Reed, co-host of the popular Martha and Mary show, had some great tips for pitching her podcast as well.
I think one of the big things is make sure you listen to a couple episodes of the podcast, that you're really clear on who, what the podcast is about and who the audience is, so that you can be a dream guest and speak, you know, as you're pitching, the host feels like you know something about the show and something about them. And if you have any connections network-wise, like, hey, my friend so-and-so recommended I reach out to you. If you've already been on another show, you could link to that in your pitch so they could listen and hear kind of what you're talking about. And, you know, Kim, something that I've started doing is asking people for their statement of faith. It's important, especially for the nature of our show. Our listeners are going to go check those people out. And if they are leading them off a deep end, you know, I need to know that. I feel like I'm trying to steward it. So I'm not trying to be discriminatory, but I'm trying to, our listeners trust us. And so I feel that responsibility to just get a gauge on, do we believe the same things about the base? And that doesn't mean I would not have someone who's not a believer on my show, but I just want to have my eyes wide open on that. And I think too, I think it's helpful to pitch several ideas. You know, look at how the host titles some of their shows and look, don't be a repeat, you know, topic. You know, I just had a publisher reach out to me about a topic, but I'm interviewing someone right after we get off this about that same topic. So I offered them a sponsorship spot, you know, to just do a blurb, but I didn't want to do the same show twice. I also think make sure you have a media kit. It has your headshot, it has your bio, it has a summary of the book, it has maybe, you know, where they can find the book, it has endorsements. And then please, please, please make sure there's a Q&A right in your media kit, not just questions, but how you would answer it. And it doesn't have to go on and on, but like a paragraph, because that helps the host determine or the producer determine, okay, this is where they're going to go with that question. And I feel good about that. And of course you might expand or those kind of things. But when someone sends a media kit, it gives me so much more information. I don't want a big, long, lengthy email in the pitch. I want enough to make the decision, but also like it should kind of be a two-way street. You want to serve their audience well. You don't want to just be like, I want to come share about my book. It's really, let's have a conversation that yes, might point back to your book, but it's not just a big marketing pitch for your book.
Then let's wrap it up with Yvette Walker, host of the Positively Joy podcast. Yvette was my guest on episode 31, and she had some great advice for your pitch, as well as what happens after you send your email pitch and you want to do follow-up.
Just like any, and remember, I'm a journalist, so just like any PR person who'd be trying to pitch a story to me, you know, I always tell people, I need to know what I call it the nut graph, but really, what is the story about? What is the story that's going to make my listeners really want to tune in? Mm-hmm. I don't just send me a pitch that said, hey, you know, it sounds like you do really great work. I'd love to be on your podcast. You'd be surprised. There are people who just say that and expect me, I think, to go back and look them up and look at them. And yes, that can happen, but I work full time, so I'm busy and I don't have time to do that. So obviously the best kind of pitching is to tell me as much as you can about who you are and what the story is, or in this case, the book that you've written and why it would be a great match or be aligned to what I do, to Positively Joy. I think it's pretty clear sometimes when people are just kind of batched proposing and they really don't, it's clear that they've never listened to the podcast or they don't know what I do. So it's very easy to read between those lines. I think authenticity is important. I think being as complete in the information as you can be is important. And write an enticing letter pitching yourself, your book, because yes, we all need guests if it's a guest show. So we will likely get back to you. Be patient. So there may be a time lag between, you know, when your pitch is responded to. So be patient. Following up is not a bad idea. Don't seem like you're angry in the follow-up, because I've seen that. We're Christian guys. I mean, right. Be nice and be authentic, you know? And then if people do find you, for example, through your website, and that's a great place to be found. Mm-hmm. So right now, I think I'm finding that people are finding me through the website. And so they may be finding you through different ways, or maybe just seeing you on social and reaching out to you that way. So they may not, you know, many of us have kind of a packet, either a media kit or somewhere online. If they've missed that, just gently direct them to that. If you feel like they need to know more about you before they're doing the pitch. But a lot of us are super busy. A lot of us are not doing this for our only full-time job. So just, you know, give us grace and be patient.
Oh, gosh, I'm so thankful for my past guests who host popular Christian podcasts and were so generous in sharing what they want to see in a guest pitch. And if you need more help coming up with pitch topics from your book or identifying Christian podcasts that would be a good one to pitch your book to, or you just simply want an audit of your email pitch, I'd love to help. My client Amy says Kim is efficient, organized, and a wonderful cheerleader that uses her skills to help you connect with the right podcast host and establish new relationships. And I'd love to help you do the same. Go to bookmarketingmania.com and schedule a power hour with me, and let's get you moving forward in your podcast pitching plans. Thanks for tuning in today, and see you next time. And as always, I'll be there for you to help you market your book one podcast at a time.